Take your Bibles tonight and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The title of my message tonight is Eternal Love. Love lifted me. It is because of the love for God that we should send the light. It is because of God's love for us that it will be a wonderful day when we get to heaven. We will see and we will go through all of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 tonight, which is the love chapter. It is the love chapter. So in our text tonight, 1 Corinthians 13, it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity or love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vomiteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Amen. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. For when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I also am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. You know, we always need to think about God's love. And before we get into our message tonight, I want to give us some thoughts about God's love. First of all, just as we remember Christ's death when we do the Lord's Supper, we should remember God's great love towards us. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, it says, but God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us. You know, we can be unlovely, but God still loves us. He doesn't love our actions, but He still loves us as individuals and as souls. The cross is the greatest demonstration of God's love. For God so what? Loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And 1 John chapter 4 verse 10 says, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now, as we're in this book, we are in the first letter to Corinth. Corinth had a problem. Their problem was a lack of love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3, it says, for ye are what? Yet carnal. We went through that a couple of weeks ago. It says, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, the people who love each other won't have that. They won't have that. Okay? Are ye not carnal and walk as men? And so Paul writes his first letter. Paul writes this, probably three letters to the Corinthians. We just have the first and the last one. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, he is telling the Corinthians goodbye, basically. And he writes this. He says, finally, brethren, farewell. But look at his emphasis. His emphasis, be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of what? Love and peace shall be with you. So tonight, what we will see here is we will see the power of love. Love conquers all bickering and brings blessing. In Romans chapter 12, verse 9, it says, let love be without dissimulation. Now, the other day in math class, we were doing arcs in geometry. and we came up with a pendulum that swung 40 degrees. And I'm reading that and I'm just drawing the picture and everything else. What's a pendulum? And I said, have you ever seen a grandfather's clock? Yeah. The thing swings back and forth? That's a pendulum. Oh, okay. The next question. The car enters a roundabout. Now, probably some of you out there are going, what's a roundabout? Traffic circle. Okay? Car enters a traffic circle and goes across an arc. And how? What's the degree of the arc that was traveled if it goes this way? So we have a word here, dissimulation. Dissimulation means it's not sincere. Okay? It's insincere. Okay? It's insincere. So basically, there's a lot of people that play at words. There's a lot of people that play and say they love you, but they really don't. And so the issue is, love conquers all bickering and brings blessing when it's absolutely genuine. When you really mean it. When you're sincere about it. And that's why Paul writes here, he says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Love builds fellowship and restores faith. In John 13, verse 35, it says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have what? Love one to another. Love draws together and brings lost sinners to salvation. You know, the heart of an evangelist is to love the lost. Paul, as an apostle, he was an evangelist. He went from place to place and he preached the gospel. And in Romans chapter 10, verse 1, we see the love that he had for his brethren. He says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. You can't pray that prayer unless you love someone. And so we see here thoughts about God's love, the problem with the Corinthian church is that they had a lack of love, and then also the power of love. So tonight as we go through this passage here, in verses 1 and 3 we see our first point. In verses 1 and 3 we see the powerlessness of service without love. The powerlessness of service without love. See, the whole gospel message is God's great love story. John chapter 15, verse 13 says, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. And he says, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you to do. So, in first three verses here, speaking without love is just noise. Folks, there's too much noise in the world today. And that noise has penetrated the church. And we need to get some noise-canceling headphones in here and tune into God. And get rid of all the stuff that distracts us. Get rid of all the stuff that takes our focus. You know, no matter how you speak, you're weak without love. And because he starts here, he says, though I speak with what? Tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I become as a sounding brass or as a tinkling cymbal. No matter what your words are, they're worthless without love. And then, so basically, our words should back up our attitude. You know, it's body language that communicates more than our actual words. And so, speaking without love is just noise. No matter how you speak, you're weak without love. No matter your words, they're worthless without love. No matter how sincere you act, you will fail without love. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 says this, but speaking the truth in love, may what? May grow up into who? Him. In all things which is the head, even Christ. Here in His love, not that we first loved Him, but that He first loved us. And John wrote that. So speaking without love is just noise. Spiritual gifts without love are just nothing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31, and this is one of those things where when you study the Bible, you need to take things in context. Because he talks about, in 1 Corinthians 12, he talks about spiritual gifts and how they work together in the church. And he closes that chapter, and then it goes into chapter 13. He closes this chapter with this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31, he says this, but covet earnestly the what? The best gifts. Not the showy gifts, the best gifts. The gifts that edify people. The gifts that help people. That keeps that helps people and brings opportunity and brings peace and brings eternal life. But covet earnestly the best gifts. And then he says here as he closes out this chapter, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And that way is love. And that way is love. Spiritual gifts without love are just nothing. The gift of prophecy, which is knowing the future, is nothing without love. Why would we want to tell people about the future? Because we love them. The gift of understanding, the deep things of God. Why would we want to expound the scriptures and tell people about God and how deep that is? Because we love them. The gift of knowledge, knowing God's will, knowing God's way, knowing God's plan, and showing that to other people. If we don't tell anybody, we don't love them. The gift of faith. Here in verse 2 it says that I can move mountains. Folks, if we don't use that to edify one another and lift people up and show God's love, it's nothing. It's nothing. And that was the problem in the Corinthian church. They were full of divisions. Verse 3, sacrifice without love is just nonsense. Remember the story of the woman with the alabaster box. And she comes in to the house and breaks it over Jesus. And it says all the disciples were greatly indignant about it. Why was this such a waste? Well, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Remember what they said when she did the ointment thing? They said, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Oh, that sounds good, but there was no love behind it. You know what? There was jealousy behind it. Why didn't I think of that? Why didn't I do that? Why didn't I get the glory here? Why didn't I get a chance to express my love? See, sacrifice without love is just nonsense. So we see the powerlessness of service without love. Verses 4 through 7, we see the practical effects of love. And so now we're going to go through this list. No, we're going to go through this quickly. We could be here a long time. We could be here on hours and expound on each one of these, but we're not going to do that. It starts out with charity suffereth long, or love suffering long. What does that really mean? It means puts up with many things. You know, sometimes we just have to put up with stuff. And it's not about us. We have to overlook a fault. Okay? We have to do that. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 6 to 11 says this, the discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. You know, we don't need to be thought police. We don't need to be the holy police. We just need to follow God. By His words, a guy rises and falls. We don't have to judge. Judge not that ye what? Be not judged. So love suffers, like puts up with a lot of things. Now, I know my wife puts up with a lot of things on me. Okay? And vice versa. But you know something? That builds a good relationship. That shows the strength of a relationship. Look at all the things that God overlooks in our lives daily. His great love wherewith He loved us. And we say that we love God and we don't, and we do these goofy things, and God says, really? Really? You know, Peter, who's just like us, asked this question. He says, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till 7 times? And then he got this incredible answer. No, till 70 times 7. And you know something you need to forgive about that? Just keep on doing it. Later on, he says, you just forgive him every time you come back and ask for forgiveness. Why? Because small things in a relationship can break it up and get us off track. And we start focusing on these faults. And we don't focus on the love that we've experienced that we should share to other people. So love suffereth long. It puts up with many things. And it says love is kind. That's the positive side of love. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 32 says, and be ye what? Kind one to another. Tenderhearted. That's not tenderized. Tenderhearted. Okay? Forgive. Now, some of you need to be tenderized. Okay? Tenderhearted. Forgiving one another. Even as God, for what? Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. So love suffereth long. Love is kind. Love doesn't envy. See, envy springs from entering to self. You know, a good chapter to show how badly we mess this stuff up is Mark chapter 10. Christ is told what's going to happen to him. He's going to be crucified. And so the very first words out of John and James's mouth, it's found in Mark chapter 10, verse 37. It says, they said to him, grant to us. We have a request, God. Christ. Since you're going to do all this stuff, you're going to go up to heaven. Grant to us this request. Grant unto us that we may sit one on the right hand and the other on the left hand in thy glory. Because we really love you, God. We really love you, Jesus. We want something in return. That's not love. That's trying to be self-serving. And everybody was just okay. They just overlooked all this. They overlooked the discussions. Oh, those two. No, they didn't. In Mark 10:41, they said this, and when the 10 heard it, they began to be with much displeased with James and John. And see, the whole point about it is, John is the disciple who Jesus loved. John writes more about love than any other apostle. Yet he does the same thing. See, we're all susceptible to it. We need to have our love suffereth long. We need to put up with many things. And we're going to have a test on that on Saturday when we're out here trying to drag that sign. We're going to find out how we love each other. Okay? Love's kind. Okay? It's a positive love. And we're going to have to forgive. And as I said tonight, I don't want 20 supervisors. I want 20 helpers. Okay? And we'll figure out how to get this done. It's not that, well, I came up with the idea for doing it. Nope. So we're going to have a great laboratory in love on Saturday morning on this. And we're going to see if we have the practical effects of love. Love doesn't vaunt itself up. It's not puffed up. What does that really mean? It basically, it's willing to be serving others, okay? Mark chapter 10, verse 28. Peter, I love this. If you read the little things in these verses, Christ is talking about leaving all and following them. And people giving up stuff to follow Christ and that they're going to be rewarded. And look at how this verse is worded. Then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we've left it all and have followed thee. Christ cut him off. Christ cut him off. I said, look, there's no one that's left family or farms or things and not get a hundredfold back. You know why? Because Peter wasn't thinking in love. Remember what Peter was asked in the last chapter of John. Peter, do you love me? Do you really love me? Tonight, do we really love God? Okay? Do we really love others? What's the first commandment? Love the Lord your God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. What's the second one? Love thy neighbor as thyself. Now Peter says, well, who's my neighbor? You don't get to pick and choose. Everyone's your neighbor. Okay? Love vaunteth itself not if it's not puffed up. Love does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, basically it says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the what? Things of others. As we go through this passage, it's not easily provoked. It's not irritable. It doesn't have a short fuse. How many of you are like an axe head that flies off the handle? Okay? The issue is, James chapter 1, verse 19 says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be what? Swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. So it's not easily provoked. Does this sound like us? Do we suffer long? Are we kind? Do we envy not? Do we not puff ourselves up? Do we behave ourselves rightly all the time? Even in a car. Even on the road. Guilty of it too. I don't know where half these people got their driver's license from. But I gotta love them. It's not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Hardly notices when others do it wrong. Now we gotta call out the sin. Gotta call out the sin. But you love the sinner. Finally, my brethren, if anyone be overtaken in a fault, ye who are what? Spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. You go read Psalms. You know, when David messed up, people said, ha, 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 ha. He said, aha, aha. It's the king doing that. You're really messing up. Folks, we should not rejoice when people fall. All the stuff that goes on in the world should make us sad. You know the reason that's happening? It's because people don't love one another. And you know why they don't love one another? It's because they don't love God. And you know the reason they don't love God is because we haven't told them about it. And we don't live it in front of them. Never get glad about unrighteous. Never say, well, they had it coming. That's not the right attitude. We ask God to forgive us of all of our sins. And we pray that prayer. But if we're not ready to forgive, what does Christ say when he does the model prayer? He says, if you don't forgive men their trespasses, your Father in heaven's not going to forgive yours. In the book of Acts, there's a story of Simon coming to Peter and John because they see Peter and John laying their hands on people and they receive the Holy Ghost. And he comes up to Peter and says, hey, can I buy this? Can I buy this gift so I can show off and do what you're doing, basically? And Peter says this. He says, for I perceive that thou art in a gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. This issue about rejoicing in iniquity is someone who's bound. What we should be doing is encouraging them to come out of the bondage. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty where Christ has set us free, and be not what? Entangled again in the yoke of bondage. You know, Paul wrote to the Galatians, he says, I marveled that you so far, you turned back to the other way. He didn't rejoice, so he says, you had it coming. Oh, folks, if we have that attitude, that's the wrong attitude to have. Rejoice is not iniquity. Never glad about unrighteousness. Rejoices in the truth and beareth all things. There's a proverb about this one. Basically, Proverbs chapter 26, verse 20 says, where no wood is, then the fire goeth out. So how many of us, when we see a problem, do we add fuel to the fire instead of trying to disarm the fire and take it away? Love covers a multitude of sins. And basically, it says, where no wood is, the fire goeth out. So where there is no what? Talebearer, the strife ceaseth. Folks, don't talk about other people. Don't talk about what you think about them to other people. You got an issue, go face to face with them, get it resolved. That's the right thing to do. Else, this is what the problem with the Corinthian church was. Why do you think Paul is listing these things? One, this is what true love is, not what you think it is. This is what it really is. Because they were messed up. They were royally messed up. Believeth all things. Hopeth for all things. You know, it's instead of looking for little faults, love expects the best. Folks, we need to understand the potential of people instead of the problems with people. Because before we were saved, we were just like them. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, it says, and above all things, have what? Fervent charity among yourselves. For charity, or love, shall cover the multitude of sins. So Paul got the message. Peter finally got the message. Do we get the message? So we see the practical effects of love. We see the powerlessness of service without love. And then lastly, we see the permanence of love in verses 8 through 13. It says, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. See, love remains when everything else goes obsolete. So the words here for failing, different words used, but they all have the same purpose. They're not useful anymore. And because they're not needed anymore, they're gone. But love never is always needed. Love is always needed. Love remains when everything else goes obsolete. When prophecies fail. When tongues cease. Even when you have the special gift of knowledge, it's to disappear. Why? Because all those things get replaced by faith. Every one of them. All those things get replaced by love. All those things get replaced with God's truth. See, we are incomplete until Christ returns. And verse 9 says, for we know in part. You know why? Because we're not in heaven yet. We don't have all the word. Daniel was told to seal up the words of the book. John was told not to write things. Paul was told not to write things. Because, see, if we understood those things, we'd get off balance. It says, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. And then it says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. You know what we need to do? We need to grow up. Which is the premise of 1 Corinthians. You're carnal. You're not acting like people who love one another. You're not acting like the body of Christ. He says, I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And childish things in a Christian's life is carnal stuff. It's about me and not about God. And it says, for we now see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. See, we're incomplete right now. We're not at the full measure of the stature of Christ. We're not like Him until we get redeemed totally from this corruption. This corruption. Verse 13, we have to continue in love until Christ returns. The word for abideth means to continue in. Means to continue in. It's also used in Hebrews 13 verse 1. It says, let brotherly what? Love continue. You don't turn this on or off. It stays constant in our lives. We have to continue in love until Christ returns. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16 through 17. Hey, the one who wanted to sit on the right hand of God. The one who irritated. Oh, it was John that when people spoke against us, said, hey, can we call down fire from heaven and consume them all? See, we all have problems with this. But John writes here in 1 John chapter 4, verses 16, it says that we have known and believe the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love, dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Folks, our sins were judged on the cross, but our actions after we get saved get judged at the judgment seat of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 3, to say basically what sort they are. If they were based in love or based in the flesh. We're going to have to think, it says, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have what? Boldness or confidence in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are what? We where? In this world. You know, we need to be like Christ. We need to be like Him. See, love is the starting point. And the starting point is salvation. Experiencing God's love for us through Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Experiencing what God has given to us through the promise of His Holy Spirit. And then we should have the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 22-23, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. That's the preeminence. That's the permanence. You can't do all these other things unless you have love. And if you love, then you will have joy. Because you won't be all wrapped up in what people think or what people do or what situations you're in. You know that God's got you. And because you have that joy, then you have peace because you know that nothing's going to take things away from you. Because you have the love of God in your heart. And if you have peace, then you'll be able to be patient with people. And if you're patient with people, then you will have an attitude of being gentle with them. That's being kind. And if you're gentle with people, then only you're going to think about doing good for people instead of trying to get ahead or trying to get even. And if you're doing good to people, then that shows that your faith is actually working in your life because you're doing good things. And if you're doing good things, then you'll have the character of Christ, which was meekness. And if you have the character of Christ, then you'll have temperance. And you'll be under control. And you'll be balanced. Against such, there is no love. There is no law. But if you don't have love, you can't go anywhere. You can't go through this maturation process of the Christian. You can't express love as Paul expressed love here. You can't be an encouragement to a church that's all messed up inside because they're not loving one another. And if we can't get this right in here, we definitely can't get it right out there. So tonight, we need full surrender to the Holy Spirit. And full surrender to the Holy Spirit produces this love in us. We sing the song, "Have Thine Own Way. I surrender all." We sing these songs, but do we really mean it? Do we love God that much? He loved us all the way to the cross.
Amen.
What should we do in our love for Him? Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this day, Lord. We thank You for the opportunity, Lord, to understand Your love. Help us to reflect on that, Lord. Help us to examine ourselves, Lord. And Father, if there's any fault in our love towards one another or towards You, Lord, help us to repent and correct that tonight. Lord, help us to have fervent charity out of a pure heart. Lord, we give You this time of invitation, Father. It's Yours. Lord, take us, Lord, and use us in a mighty way and change us to be the ones that You want us to be. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
I want